This message entitled The Cross Times Three was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on Good Friday, April 10th, 2020 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Luke 23:32-49.
Hello, my name is Roy Warren. I'm the pastor of Christ Our Rock Bible Church. We're clearly not in our church building with this coronavirus situation going on. We are staying back away from each other and away from other people, the social distancing thing. Rather ironic that the church is really usually about the opposite. We're trying to get people together and trying to get people connected to not only each other, but connected to the Lord. And we're still going to do that. All right. Once the scare is over and everything, we'll be back to the building. We invite you to it. It's Rogers Chapel over in the Mackville area. Not very hard to find at all. So you're more than welcome. Come join us physically in that time. In the meantime, however, we're going to be doing it this way for a while. It's going to involve the camera, the recorder, and we'll put it all together, and it's going to praise Jesus every step of the way. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right, I want to mention something about what we're doing in our worship service. Ever since Christmas, and through the season of Epiphany, and also into Lent, and now coming into Easter, we have been looking at three stories, okay? Three stories in the Gospel of Luke in particular, because, quite frankly, the bulk of the Christmas story was in Luke. So we're just continuing on with it. Who did Jesus say he was? Who is he? Okay? We've got to know it goes far beyond being some kind of helper or some kind of problem solver or prosperity guide or something like that. A lot of people have got him down to that point, and that's not who he is, and it's not who he claimed to be. Praise God. Well, so that's why our message here tonight is called The Cross Times Three. The Cross Times Three. We've been doing different stories all the way along, and once again, but it's times three, looking at those three stories at every given time. Praise God. The Cross Times Three. I wonder if you'll just join me in prayer. If you have any particular prayer requests, obviously we can't share them, but you can go ahead and bring them to the Lord as we have this short time of prayer, even now. Amen? All right. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for your love and mercy and grace, dear God, that comes to us in such a very powerful way. Hallelujah. We thank you for the opportunity and the time, dear God, to share these things, that we don't just have to cut off the whole thing and not have to be about the things of the Lord. No, you are still calling us to be about your truth, your word, and to proclaim you in every way. So we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that you will truly change hearts, Lord, here tonight. Glory be to God on this Good Friday. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. There is one other thing that I wanted to share with you, and I placed them off to the side, so let me get them. Our church has certain forms of outreach. One is we write up our own Advent devotional book. Now, I know this goes back to Christmas, but it's still true. It's still true. So if you would like to have a copy of this, I'd be glad to send it to you. It's free of charge. There's no way we're going to expect anything out of you for this. Just ask for it. We don't know where you are. You can go ahead and have a copy, that's for sure. We also have these monthly messages that if you let us know, we'd be glad to sign you up for them. We don't use your address for anything else. We don't use your name for anything else. You'll just get this in the mail once a month. Praise God. And it's once again the truth of God's word, of his gospel. There's a new one every month, and you're welcome to it. All you got to do is let us know. We're glad to put you on the mailing list, and you'll never be approached for money or anything like that. All right? Just want to mention those couple of things because you might find them helpful. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I will thank the Lord with all my heart. I will declare all your wonderful works. I will rejoice and boast about you. I will sing about your name most high. All right? Praise the Lord. Long ago, when Dr. Matthew Hutton was Bishop of Durham, he was traveling in the Yorkshire Dales of northern England. Coming to a particular spot, he dismounted, left his horse with an attendant, and retreated a short distance from the road. Kneeling at a particular spot, he prayed for a few minutes, and then he rose and resumed his journey. Well, his attendant asked him about this, asked him why in the world did you do this? Why did we have to stop like that? And he explained, years earlier, as a poor boy, the bishop explained that he'd been traveling over that same bleak mountain without shoes or socks, and his feet were becoming very cold, and he was miserable in the process. Spotting a cow lying at in a particular place along the road there, young Matthew ran toward the animal, frightened him off, and then sat down and warmed his feet where the cow had been resting. Now, said the bishop, whenever I pass that way, I go right past that very spot. He takes time to kneel in the spot and thank God for all of the subsequent blessings that he has received. It was a God-given thing to find that cow at that time to warm his feet so he could continue his journey. God gave us the capacity of memory. We all know that. But as we go through life, we encounter many sights, many sounds, many smells that bring back recollections of bygone days. The psalmist said, I will thank the Lord with all my heart. All my heart, I will declare all your wonderful works. Every memory that we have can become fodder, can become food, so to speak, for thanksgiving, as we praise God for how he has blessed us and how he delivers us, how he teaches us his lessons. The temperature of our spiritual health is measured on the thermometer of thanksgiving. Amen? Now, clearly, this is not Thanksgiving time, okay? You know, end of November. But that doesn't matter, because the Christian is supposed to be thankful all of the time. Amen? All of the time. I think this is crucial to understand. As we approach Easter, I think this is especially true, because these are the greatest blessings, I believe, that God has given. Good Friday, and of course, Easter Sunday. Both very good remembrances of who, not only who he is, but who he wants us to be as well. Praise God. As we approach Easter, we need to see the cross as a very good thing. Hence the name for this day, Good Friday. A lot of people, I think, probably have wondered about that, you know, because it looks like such a horrible thing. You know, such a hardship, such a difficulty. I mean, all the suffering and the pain and the eventually the dying. How could that possibly be good? But you see, that's where people make their mistake, because they don't really see what it's all about. Once you understand that it's about your salvation, it's about your forgiveness of sin. It's about your being able to be with your God and with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. That's a very good thing. And I can see why it's called Good Friday. The only way to get to Easter is through this Jesus. Amen? You know, it's in John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise God. Praise God. I think a lot of people might be thinking that our title, Cross Times Three, is really speaking of the three crosses that were on that hill called Calvary. Now, I tried to mention this at the very beginning so you'd know it, but let's be real clear about that. That's not what that title is about. It's not talking about the three crosses, though it will come into view as we continue through this. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, okay? Luke chapter 23, and it's just a couple of verses. This is comes to the cross. In fact, I could share it from the top there. And as they, this is verse 26 now, in Luke 23. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one, Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. And the reason he said that, he says, it's just going to be very, very tough for you. Especially in a few years when Jerusalem is ransacked by the Romans and destroyed and the temple's gone and all the rest of it. It's going to be hard for you to travel if you're carrying a little one, if you're either pregnant or you've got you're holding the baby in your arms and you've got to keep that baby fed and all the other things. And that's where it starts. But it's also talking about the last days. Okay, it's going to be hard if you've got these little ones like that. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, okay, what shall be done in the dry? In other words, this huge conflagration, I guess you could say, this huge fiery existence and this judgment that's coming upon things. You know, if they can do that kind of thing with green wood, and you know it's not easy to get a fire started with green wood, but what shall happen, what shall be done in the dry? Imagine how bad it's going to be when the wood is dry. Okay? All right, and look at verse 32, and here's where we really wanted to be, verse 32 and 33. And there were also two other, notice there's a comma there, two other, not calling Jesus a malefactor. Malefactor, by the way, is a 75-cent word that simply says robber, thief, bad guy, okay? But there were two other, comma, malefactors led with him to be put to death. Okay, wrongdoer, criminal, that's what a malefactor is. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Okay, now clearly, so there's three crosses, but that's not really where I'm getting the idea. Okay, cross times three. We're going to be looking at three different scenarios, three different episodes in the story of the cross, similar to what we've been doing since Christmas. Okay? One's on the right, one's on the left, and Jesus is in the middle. All right, praise God. Now, the first story that we want to take a look at is right here, really. It's the first thing that Jesus said. Okay, comes right after this verse 33. This is verse 34. All right, now Jesus did say seven things from the cross. They're called the seven words from the cross. They're called the seven sayings from the cross. But we're not going to look at all seven. We're gonna see at least a couple of them. And then we're going to see something said by somebody else in the story that's just as important. Okay, you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. But here's the first one. Look at verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I wonder if the primary focus of Jesus in saying that, the initial focus of Jesus saying that, okay, is showing up here in the second half of the verse. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Who did? The soldiers did. I wonder if his immediate focus with this statement about God forgiving them for they know not what they do, I wonder if it has to do with the soldiers. But certainly it could have to do with really everybody that's there and people that aren't. What do we mean by that? Well, you know, there's Joe Blow the spectator out there. He's just maybe passing by, sees what's going on. He also needs to know what's here. Okay? The religious leader who have been actively trying to get him up on that cross. Okay? Jesus could say the same thing. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. All right? And then, of course, there's us. Because, quite frankly, the Bible makes clear that everybody has sinned. We have all sinned. Okay? And we all come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Everybody deserves to go to hell. But praise God, Jesus in his love, his mercy, his grace had a way, and the Father called him to it, and he was glad to do it. He went ahead and suffered and died, praise God, paying for your sin and mine. Amen? So in a very real sense, we put him on that cross too. Okay? Even us. You see, sometimes I think we do need to realize, we do need to realize that everyone's sin has put him there. Even yours, even mine. And that, my friends, is the love of God. That is the love of God. The Father wanted it, and Jesus was willing to go all the way with it. I don't know if you noticed it. There's a commercial that plays repeatedly, and it has to do with Billy Graham. Now, as you know, it's past footage of Billy Graham's crusades and so forth that they're showing. Billy Graham has passed away, you know, a number of years ago. Or recently, I'll put it that way. And in that, he made it clear, I don't know, probably many times he made it clear, that the only message that changes the heart, there can be all kinds of sermons, there can all be all kinds of things you're preaching on, and whether it's Christmas or Easter or whatever, the only thing that really changes the heart is the cross. Now, they might be playing that because it has to do with, you know, all this coronavirus thing that's going on, and people think we need this and we need that and we don't need this and we don't need that, so forth. We need the cross. Primarily, above all, we need the cross of Calvary. And that's what he was always telling people, and it's true today. We need the cross of Calvary. So it's a good thing that we have that cross here today three times over. Okay? Three times over. All right. So that's our first scenario. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Turn to, close to following that, verse 39. Yeah, verse 39. And it says, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. That is, got after Jesus, you know. Here we all are, and, you know, this is a real jip, putting it mildly, I suppose, huh? Saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Save us all. Okay? Now, one of the other Gospels makes clear that both thieves, both malefactors, were railing on Jesus. Both were. But the one stopped. And now, the one who stopped gets after the other one who's still doing it. Okay? But the other, answering, rebuked him, rebuked the other thief, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We're going to pay with our lives. That's what sin costs. But this man hath done nothing amiss. This Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. And he's going to his death same as we are. And quite honestly, what he's doing is paying for your sin and mine. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord. That's not just buddy. That's not just friend. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? That's not just problem fixer. No, it isn't. Lord. Praise God. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember in the Greek means to have a fixture in the mind. Jesus, let me be a fixture in your mind as you go to receive your kingdom, to grasp it mentally. Grasp me mentally. Bear me in mind. Recollect me. Whether it be for reward, whether it be for punish, it doesn't matter to me anymore. But it turns out that this particular word for remember is derived from the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O, which literally means to abide. Jesus, as you go to your death, let me abide in you. Let me abide in you. And you know what Jesus said? I think you already know, don't you? Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee," in other words, truthfully, honestly, I'm telling you the absolute truth, "today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Praise God. Today you will be with me in paradise. Future happiness. It's like a park. Sometimes it's referred to as Peace Park. I remember one time I was doing some metal work at the time, and we generally made Christmas presents. In recent years, I've done a lot of stained glass, and the family members have gotten a lot of that through the years. Well, I used to do some metal work, and I made this scene, a 3D scene that goes on the wall. Gave it to my mother and father-in-law, and they had it up over their organ in their finished basement. Praise God. Peace Park. It was called. It's a picture, okay? It's not the reality of it, but it's a picture of paradise. Glory be to God. Amen? Glory be to God. I mean, talk about the love of God, right? That's a good thing, and we've got to get a handle on that. I think a lot of people are confused by this idea of whether something is good or bad. Really, I think they are. They think everything that is hard, everything that is difficult, everything that is, you know, something you don't want to go through, some hardship, some difficulty, is by definition a bad thing. And I don't want any bad things. I only want easy things. Well, that's not life, people. That is not life. And that's not the way God is calling us to go through it. He oftentimes puts difficult things in our paths. In order to do what? In order to get us to seek Him and praise God, follow Him, and go His way. That's what God does. It's not all about getting an easy way. Okay? Not everything that is difficult is a bad thing. And there are people that got the other idea too, that everything that is easy is good, and that's what they want. So if anything turns a little bit south, if anything goes a little bit difficult, that's not good. Whatever happened to God? You know, how come God isn't with me anymore? Well, you know, quite frankly, He does put a lot of things in our lives that do draw us to know our need for Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Look at the cross. It's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, oh, the nails in the wrist, the nails in the feet, the spear in the side, the pain. He can't hardly breathe. He's got to try to push his feet up, you know, on the footrest down at the bottom of the cross in order to get a breath. And then he goes back into not being able to get very much air through this whole thing. Okay? Very difficult. The cross is a hard thing. All right? But at the same time, it is extremely good, because that is the way God planned it in order to get us to be with Him forever and ever in heaven. Amen? Let Jesus take our sins on the cross, and then we join Him as He brings us into heaven. Praise God. That's extremely good. And I have a feeling that's how it all got started, with calling it Good Friday. You might have wondered about that. Why is it called good? You know, here Jesus is suffering and dying. How is that good? Well, I just told you how it's good. Amen? All right. That was our second story, okay, about these thieves on the cross, and today you will be with me in paradise. Now there's a third story. Okay, I told you there's going to be the cross times three. Okay? Praise God. If anyone could be fed up with Jesus, it would be the soldiers. Quite honestly, it could be the soldiers. Because here they are, pulled out of their homes, pulled away from their families, all right? And now they're off in this so-called God-forsaken land of Judea and having to deal with these rebellious Jews. And I imagine they're kind of really sick and tired of the whole thing. They would like to be back home, but they're not. By the way, I think the soldiers, as I mentioned earlier, might very well be the primary group that Jesus was referring to when he said, Father, forgive them. Because remember, in that verse, it also says, and they parted his raiment. Well, that's what the soldiers did. So I wonder if that's the primary focus, or the, at least, I'll put it this way, maybe not the primary focus, maybe it's the initial focus. Okay? Father, forgive them. I mean, they are the ones that actually put the nails in his wrists. They are the ones that actually put those spikes through his feet. You see, the soldiers were right there at the cross the whole time. Other people could come up and look and pass by, back into the city, back to their lives. Everybody else could handle this in a different way. They are there for the duration, these soldiers. Okay, they're right there at the cross the whole time. They were there to hear Jesus say all seven of his sayings from the cross. Like I said, others could be passing by. Others could go ahead and get in a conversation with somebody and miss those things. But those soldiers are there and they're hearing everything Jesus had to say. Some think, I've heard people say, they think it's only the centurion that is now responding to what Jesus is doing on the cross. You know, the centurion is the soldier who's in charge of 100 soldiers. Now, he doesn't have all 100 soldiers there with him. A normal death squad had 4 soldiers and the centurion. And that's all it took to normally crucify somebody. So that might be the case. Some think it was only the centurion that saw Jesus saw Jesus as a righteous person, but I want you to look at it more carefully. In fact, for this one, we have to turn back. So let's do it. We have to turn back. You don't want to miss this. Turn back to Matthew, okay, chapter 27. And it's only one verse. Okay, you ready? This is the cross. This is a story of the cross in Matthew's gospel, okay? And look at verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him. You know what that's talking about, don't you? It's talking about the death squad. It's talking about the 4 extra soldiers. And there might have been more, but there are probably at least 4. Because remember when they did the gambling for the robe, everybody took another piece of clothing. Somebody probably got his sandals. Some probably got his tunic. But the cloak was special. The cloak was special. And so they gambled for that. So one person got that. It was without seam, and they didn't want to ruin it, so they gambled for it. Okay? Watching Jesus, it says they saw the earthquake. Hard to miss, isn't it? You know, they're standing there, and all of a sudden, you know, everything starts shaking. And they're swaying back and forth and grabbing onto some post or something. They saw the earthquake. It was happening right there where they were. And they were right at the foot of the cross too, by the way. Off to the side, I'm sure. But those things that were done, they feared greatly. Now listen, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And like I say, some people attribute that just to the centurion, but I think it's bigger than that. I think it's broader than that. I think it includes all the soldiers that were there. Okay? Truly, this man was the Son of God. Here's this group of pagans that now come to believe in Jesus. This was the Son of God. Literally, in the Greek, okay? I mean, without putting it in our grammar, okay, in our way of speaking. In the Greek, it says, truly of God, Son was this one. That's what it is. Literally, word for word, in the Greek. Truly of God. Truly of God's Son was this one. There you go. Doesn't that make it clear who he is? He is not just a problem solver. He is not just a helper. He is not just trying to get you to get rich and be healthy and all that kind of stuff that people make the gospel all about nowadays. No, it's about Jesus being Lord. It's about Jesus being the King of Kings. It's about Jesus being the Son of God. It's about Jesus being the second person of the Trinity. Praise God. In other words, God himself. Not just the Son of God, but God himself. Remember? God exists in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's called the Trinity. And don't get all bogged down by the fact that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You know, big deal. The word truck is not in the Bible either, and yet you know there are truckers. Amen? In fact, there was a story on them just last night on the news saying about, you know, how they've been crucial, absolutely crucial, for getting supplies around, getting things to where they need to go, and they keep going and they keep going and they keep going. I thought maybe they were going to actually have my elder, Jim France, on there, you know, because, well, they called out his name, first of all, before they showed him, and his first name was Jim. Of course, most everybody's first name is Jim, it seems, you know. Praise God, praise God. So, you know, thanks to Jim and so many like him, they're still getting stuff to where people need it. Amen? Whatever it may be. Praise the Lord, okay? Truly, this was the Son of God. Glory be to God. The centurion and they that were with them. Okay? Five pagan Romans, absolutely steeped in pagan worship, probably. Had all kinds of gods. Didn't really know the real one. There they are. In that time and in that place. Praise God. And now they believe. Truly this man was the Son of God. Amen? That is the only message that changes the heart. The cross. I think Billy Graham's right about that. That's the message that truly changes the heart. Other things can help you grow. Other things are quite helpful. Other things are more directional, and they show you which step to take and what place to go and so forth. But this changes the heart. The cross. That Jesus loved you so much that his Son went to the cross, suffered, died, rose again in order to take away your sin and mine. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God for what the cross can do. It can turn us into believers. Amen? It can turn us into believers. Truly, this was and is the Son of God. Glory to God. Amen? Glory to God. Would you pray with me, please? Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you, dear God, for this truth here that has been upon us here tonight. Dear God, help us, Lord, to always believe that this really is the message that changes hearts. It really is, because it makes it clear how he loves us. The Father said, go to the cross. He said, I'm going. Not my will, but your will be done, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want to thank you, dear God, that we have such a loving God, such a caring God, such a God who knows what we need and then provides it. He doesn't just tell us what we need and then expect us to go searching for it and hunting for it. No, it's right there in front of us, the cross of Calvary. I want to thank you for this, dear God, because this will truly prepare us, Lord, for Easter. It'll prepare us for Resurrection Sunday, coming up very, very shortly. So we praise you, give you all the glory, dear God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a very, very good weekend this weekend, all right? Like I say, I wish we could all gather together. We could meet some of you that we don't even know. But like I said, there will be time for that when we are over with all these safeguards. But praise God, we can still have the truth like this here today. So, oh, we thank God for that, don't we? Thankful, right? Isn't that the whole idea? That we be thankful. I know it's not Thanksgiving Day. Praise God. But being thankful is something for every day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in God's peace. Amen. Praise God. Amen.